Medrash has an odd comment on the pasuk, "Va'atay Yisrael ma Hashem Elokecha shol me'imach." And now Israel, what does God ask from you? The Medrash says, "Ein ata ela tshuva." The word ata, which means now, is a reference to tshuva. It's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah Chaf Aleph. How does the Medrash know that the word ata refers to tshuva? Where in the word do you see any allusion to tshuva whatsoever? Perhaps we can answer based on a story. A story is told that in one of the DP camps, after the war, they tried to get together a minyan for Yom Noraim. There was one particular Jew there who seemed to be a very special person. He spent a lot of his time learning Torah. He possessed a very special Hadras Panim, one of those people that, you know, when you meet a certain type of person, you sense that there's something special about them. You sense that they're living their lives on a different level. So they figured, the Chevra got together and they asked this fellow to speak and offer some Divrei Sarris and Rosh Hashanah. But he declined. He didn't want to speak. They asked him again, Kol Nidrei Night, perhaps you can give us Divrei Sarris. And again, he declined. He wasn't interested. Before Musaf, they asked him again, maybe now? And again, he declined. And then finally, right before Ne'ilah, they asked him one last time, and the man agreed to share some Divrei Sarris. And this is what he said. He said, right now the Yetzer Hara and his helpers are plotting to trip us up. They're plotting to find our weakness and to exploit whatever weakness we have. If we could try to imagine what's going on in that meeting with the Yetzer Hara and all of his little helpers and all of his deputies, what are they talking about? What are they coming up with? Probably somebody in the meeting will raise their hand and suggest that they should trip us up with a chemdas mammon, with a desire for money, an unhealthy desire for money. Maybe another one of the Yetzer Hara's deputies will suggest planting a boredom and a disinterest in tefillah. Maybe a third deputy will suggest that we should struggle with our Shemir Shabbos. But ultimately, he said, you know what's going on? All of those suggestions will be shot down. And they're going to realize that we're able to overcome such petty drives and desires. Look at us! We're Jews and we have a sense of what it means to be holy. We survived the fires of hell. There's no way that after being through what we've been through, that we'd ever in a million years allow our priorities to get so out of whack. What will the final decision of the Yetzer Hara be? What's going to come out of that meeting? How will they trip us up? It's actually very simple, he said. The Yetzer Hara doesn't mind if we decide not to sin anymore. He won't mind if we make all of the Kabbalahs in the world for strengthening Torah and mitzvahs. So long as we agree to start tomorrow. As long as we don't start today. That's the number one tool in the Yetzer Hara's shed. The ability to take us and tell us, do whatever you want, just start tomorrow, procrastinate. Just continue in your ways for another few hours, for another few days. And then we're going to be able, by the time tomorrow comes, who knows what kind of state of mind we're going to be in and if we're going to be able to begin those Kabbalahs. Gavri Butler gave me a book a while back that he told me Rav Aaron Lichtenstein suggests in Gush that all of the boys read during Chodesh Elul. It's a book written by an author named C.S. Lewis. The book is called The Screwtape Letters. And the idea of the book is essentially a correspondence between the Satan, Satan, the devil, and a nephew of his who is a deputy of his, who's training to become like Satan. And the uncle, the devil, is trying to explain to him how the job goes, and he's trying to mentor him in the idea of being a Yetzer Hara, serving as a devil, serving as Yetzer Hara for somebody. And it's a fascinating book. The concept is brilliant, and it's fascinating in the sense that it provides so much insight into the human psyche, into how we mess up, into where we mess up, into how the Yetzer Hara gets the best of us. And there's one passage in the book, let me read it to you, it's phenomenal. The devil is writing to his nephew, and he writes as follows. I once had a patient, that's how they refer to the people as patients. I once had a patient, a sound atheist, who used to read in the British Museum. One day, as he sat reading, I saw a train of thought in his mind beginning to go the wrong way. The enemy, of course, was at his elbow in a moment. Enemy, of course, referring to the Yetzer Tov. Before I knew where I was, I saw my 20 years' work beginning to totter. If I had lost my head and begun to attempt a defense by argument, I should have been undone. But I was not such a fool. He's saying, if I were to argue intellectually, there's no chance the Yetzer Tov is going to win intellectually every time. So he continues, I struck instantly at the part of the man which I had best under my control and suggested that it was just about time for lunch. The enemy presumably made the counter-suggestion. You know how one can never quite overhear what he says to them? That this was more important than lunch. At least I think that must have been his line, for when I said, quite, in fact much too important to tackle at the end of a morning, the patient brightened up considerably, and by the time I had added, much better come back after lunch and go into it with a fresh mind, he was already halfway to the door. Once he was in the street, the battle was won. I showed him a newsboy shouting the midday paper, and a number 73 bus going past, and before he reached the bottom of the steps, I had gotten into him an unalterable conviction that whatever odd ideas might come into a man's head when he was shut up alone with his books, a healthy dose of real life, by which he meant the bus and the newsboy, was enough to show him that all that sort of thing just couldn't be true. Unbelievable. Unbelievable passage. The Yetzer Hara's number one tool? Just wait. Wait till after lunch. Yeah, you'll do all the good things. Just wait. And then by the time you wait, you're distracted here, you're distracted there, and you forget where you began. This past week, I overheard one of our Talmidim saying to his Rebbe in the Beis Medrash, my Kabbalah for this year is going to be to start Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum with Bereishis and make it through the entire Torah. You know what the Rebbe responded? What a master mechanech. What does he respond? Kid says, what a Kabbalah that is. Unbelievable. He's going to do Shnayim Mikra. Granted, it's a halacha, but how many people observe that halacha properly? And a high school kid wanted to make such a commitment. He's going to start with the Bereishis, go straight through to the Zos HaBracha throughout the course of the year. You know what the Rebbe responded? Bereishis? No! You can't wait till Bereishis. Start now. Don't wait. Parshas Kisavo! Start there! It's an odd place to start. If you don't start now, the Kabbalah is not going to be there when you're up to Bereishis. I started learning Daf Yomi with my Chavrusa, with Rabbi Rasner. Maseches Krisus! Who starts Maseches Krisus? Okay, so he was excited about Maseches Krisus. He gets excited about everything. Baruch Hashem, he is such an Avas HaTorah. But how do you get excited about Maseches Krisus? But we had an idea, let's start, and we did it! You start now, you don't push it off. And with that understanding of the Yetzer Hara, we can understand the Medrash that we began with. Va'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem Elokech Hashol Me'emach. According to the Medrash, Va'ata refers to tshuva. Because the only way tshuva will ever work is if tshuva is done ata. It's done right now, without any delay. That's the only way, in C.S. Lewis's words, the enemy will ever win. It's the only way the Yetzer Hara will ever lose. We have to go in with a sense of Yata. The Pasuk in Parshas Bishalach, when describing Amalek, the war with Amalek, says, Vayomer Moshe Yoshua, Bechar lanu anashim. Moshe says to Yoshua, choose for us men, Vitzehi lachim ba'amalek, and go do war with Amalek, Machar, tomorrow, Anochi nitzav al rosh hagivah matei elukim biyadi. And I'm going to go up to the top of the mountain. Now, Chazal point out in Maseches Yuma, the word machar in that pasuk is a little unclear what it's going on. Is he telling Yeshua, do war with Amalek tomorrow? Or is he saying, no, you go do a war with Amalek, and machar, nochi nitzav al rosh hagiva. And tomorrow I'm going to go up to the top of the mountain. Right, what exactly, where is the word machar? The Chazal says, Lashon Chazal is, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, ze echad min hamakra'ol she'im la nechra. We don't really know where this word machar fits in. But Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld has a beautiful explanation. It's hard to explain a pasuk that Chazal say they don't know the correct pshat, but he says there's a third possibility. Not that machar refers to when Yeshua is going to go, not that machar refers to when Moshe is going to go, but machar is the definition of Amalek. the midah that represents Amalek is best summarized in that single word, machar. The Yetzer Hara won't initially try to make us give up on a mitzvah entirely. Yetzer Hara is not going to tell you stop going to davening. Yetzer Hara is not going to tell you to give up on giving tzedakah. Instead, he'll take a person with a burning desire to serve Hashem, and you know what he's going to say? Machar, do it tomorrow. He'll continue to make him procrastinate until that desire is gone, until the fire is gone, and the mitzvah will be avoided entirely. And that's the way to defeat Amalek. V'haya kasher yorim Moshe yado v'gavar Yisrael. When Moshe lifted up his hands, that's when Klal Yisrael was victorious. What does the raising of the hand symbolize? It symbolizes acting now, immediate action. Never let up, not for a moment. Because as soon as you let up, as soon as you procrastinate, Amalek has the upper hand. The Chafetz Chaim points to an often overlooked pasuk in Megillas Rus. Vatomer shaviviti ad asher teidin eich yipol davar. Ki lo yishkota ish ki im kila hadavar hayom. Boaz says we need to take care of this today. He had a job to do and he wouldn't allow it to wait for even a single day. In fact, Chazal tell us that Boaz's marriage to Rus lasted only for a single day before Boaz died. Had Boaz delayed a single day, the entire chain of Malchus Beis David never would have come into existence. Procrastinate a single day, very often it's not just a delay of 24 hours, but everything you hope for, everything you work for, everything you strive for can go up in smoke by just waiting a single day. In the words of Chafetz Chaim in Avas Chesed Perek Yud Aleph, U'be'emes kishenes bonen bazeh. In truth, when we think about this, he has siba hagadola shebekol hasibos shamoneha es ha'adam me'avodas Hashem Yisbarach. This is the number one root cause of what holds us back from avodas Hashem. Va'al yada nishar ha'adam aru mitoru mitzvus mitshuva. And through this midah of procrastination, a person remains naked from Torah, from mitzvos, from tshuva. Ki miteva ha'atzel lidchos kol davar v'davar l'machar u'liyom achra. The nature of a lazy person is to delay everything, wait till tomorrow, the next day. However, thinking that one wants to start accomplishing today is not enough. The Chafetz Chaim adds, you have to do more. Chafetz Chaim writes, v'shamati b'shem ga'on echad. I heard in the name of a certain ga'on, Sha'amar Sha'adam Tsarich Lishair Binafsho Shlosha Dvarim, who says that a person has to think about three things, internalize three messages. Echad She'ein Lo Ela Yom Echad Lichios. Number one, pretend as if you only have one day to live. This is your last day on this earth. Gam She'ein Lo Ela Perek Mishnayis Echad Odaf Gemara Echad Mashu Hu Osek Boata. To picture in your mind as if your job is only to learn a single parak of Mishnayis, or a single of Daf Gemara. Which Daf Gemara? The one you're learning right now. The one that you're holding in right now. Gam, Shehu Yisrael Echod Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Mitzaveu Al Kiyum HaTorah. And the third thing to keep in mind, and pretend and envision in your own brain, is that you are the only Jew alive who God had commanded to do this to. Ubo taloi kiyum ha'olam, and the whole world rests on your shoulders. Ki al yedei zeh sheyichashiv sheyesh l'rak yom echad lichyos. Because if you think that you have only one day to live, yasa kol mashe b'kocho b'tshuva ma'isim tovim v'lo yaniach ha'davar ad l'machar. If you can envision that this is your last 24 hours on this earth, you're going to use every minute so carefully. And if you think to yourself that this is the only Daf Gemara you have to learn, you'll be able to overcome that Yetzer Hara that says, why bother starting? The task is so great, you're never going to be able to finish it anyway. No, you look at this Daf Gemara, not so hard. I could learn this Daf. I could do this. The Yetzer Hara knows how to weaken you. He weakens you by showing you the big picture. And he weakens you by making it seem too daunting and too overwhelming. And third, Gami Mashi Ichashiv Sha'alav Talu Kiyuma Olam. When you think that the whole world rests on your shoulders, Yizdaris Bi Yoser, you're going to be much more careful about your Avodas Hashem. La Afuke Me HaYetzer Shemat Ehu. As opposed to, in order to counter the Yetzer Hara, who tries to trip you up, va'omerlo, and says to him, Bivadai nimtza anashim acherim mekimei Torah. Aren't there other people who can do this for God? Karo'oi v'yiskayim ha'olam b'shvilam, and let the world survive on their account. U'be'emes kvar amru zuchronim levracha, and that's why the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin tells us, shechayev adam lomar b'shvili nivra ha'olam. That's what it means. Not a sense of gaiva that you should say, the world was created for me, but to feel a sense of responsibility that the world is relying on me. It's relying on my mitzvos. And says the Chafetz Chaim, you know what? Sometimes it might even be true. Gam pa'amim sha'olam chetzio zakai v'chetzio chayev. Sometimes the person is, the world is half and half. The giant scale up in Shemayim is literally even. And who knows? Maybe your next avera is going to be the one that tips the scale, or your next mitzvah is going to be the next one that tips the scale. And therefore concludes the Chafetz Chaim a beautiful vart. He says, "Uladati kol zeh ramos b'Torah Kedosha Parshas Kriya Shema." All of this is alluded to in Parshas Kriya Shema. What does the pasuk say? You should love God with all you've got. How do you arrive at that? How does one arrive at such a sense of Ava? Three pieces of advice given by the Pesukim in Shema. Number one, meaning that the only words of Torah that you have to be concerned about are Dvarim Ha'ela, the little bit of learning that's right in front of you right now, today's daf, this parak of Mishnayos. It goes on, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha, that Hashem has commanded you. Hainu, Sheyechashev Belibo Sheba'olam Ein Rak Kadosh Baruch Hu, the who. Picture in your mind that in the world, there's God and there's you and there's nobody else. And he's relying on you. And third, Hayom. Hainu she'ein lo rak yom ze levado. All you have is today. This is your day. It's your only day to accomplish this. Al levavcha, hainu ha'shlosh dvarim elu, yela adam al levavot tamid. Person should be able to internalize in his heart all these three ideas, and if he does that, then he will have defeated the Yetzer Hara. So as we continue to progress through Chodesh Elul, and we try to figure out Eitzos, right, there's Svarim by the title of Eitzos Lazakos B'Yemei Adin. Advice, how are we going to do it? How are we going to be able to come out okay in the Yemei Adin? We have to strategize, we have to figure out how we're going to defeat the Yetzer Hara. And the number one bit of advice is Hayom. We don't wait till Machar. It's Ata and it's Hayom. When we have that sense of wanting to do something good, of wanting to take on a positive Kabbalah, we start it right now. And through that, in addition to the other suggestions of the Chafetz Chaim, not being overwhelmed by the enormity of the task, and feeling a sense of personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're taka going to be able to be Mezaka B'Yom Hadin, and we'll be able to defeat the Yetzer Hara in all of his efforts to undermine our Avodas Hashem.